with the Leisure Man, the Leisure Man, the Leisure Man, the Leisure Man, the Leisure Man.
Welcome to the Midweek Leisure Man Podcast. I'm Andrew Perloff. He's Paul Papps. Paulie, it is the end of summer, and it feels like it is mid-July. This isn't football weather, Paul. This is all wrong.
It's terrible. I'm sweating right now. Got home from work, getting ready to do the podcast. It's completely sweating outside. Also, I need to cut the grass. The grass should be all cut. I don't think I've done a good job preparing for the fall. I'm embarrassed.
Now, are you planning to put on a couple pounds, sort of spend some quality time on your couch? I think that's really... It's that time. I don't care what the weather is. I'm going long sleeve. How about you?
Well, yeah, my plan for tonight, you know, for the games over the next couple of days is really get my rest. You know, like how I learned from J.J. Watt, you know, as far as getting 9 hours of sleep, that kind of thing. I'm going to do a lot of napping on Fridays, you know, to set up. Because really for me, you're more the NFL guy, I'm more the college guy. Saturday, I start watching college football. I think I watch college game day around 11 a.m., and then I go from noon till about 1 in the morning, sometimes later than that with the West Coast games. So that's like a 13-hour stretch of doing almost nothing but watching football. You can't do that unless you're well-rested.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way, but I will take breaks. So I love game day. I always fall for every feature. I love seeing the Bear give the lines and all that stuff. But the 12 o'clock games, they always disappoint me, Paul. How do you get through those?
You know, you got a good point. Sometimes, and I hate to admit this because I'm a hardcore college football fan, those noon games, if it's like Maryland, Rutgers, and I don't have a lot to choose from, I'll usually find like a third-tier game. Like the other day I watched, I think it was like New Hampshire, Maine. I think it was watching it in standard definition. It was standard definition. Who has that anymore? And I enjoyed that game, but because I was like, at least it feels like a tight game, not one of those kind of second-tier D1 games.
So you prefer that to, say, Indiana versus Maryland or those terrible big conference games, the early games. So you have to be a gambler, like right?
If it's like, let me give you an example. If I don't want to make fun of any teams, but like if Iowa State is playing Kansas State and that's the feature game, I may go run an errand or two, at least for the first half, because I can miss the first half of that game and it won't affect my life a lot. No offense.
Yeah. So... Paul, you want to bring up, you know, every year about this time, we have a debate, pro versus college football. I kind of argue that they aren't a versus. You can love both. But I'd like to hear where you stand in the year 2018 on the balance as a fan, where you are between pro and college football.
Well, I've always liked the college game better. The atmosphere, the game day experience, the fact that the teams are, there's more creativity with the offenses in college football. I like the big numbers, the big scores. I like that a game could finish 52-51, even though it's weird. I think the one thing, the big thing, and I hate to admit it, that the NFL just dominates college football is the NFL is not predictable. From year to year, you really don't know who's going to win it. Now, don't give me the Patriots are in it every year. No, the Patriots aren't in the title game every year. If anyone would have said when Carson Wentz went down last year that the Eagles were being in the title game and win it over Tom Brady, no one would have bought it. Like, if you said this year that what's a team that's kind of random? Let's say UCLA is going to rise up and win the national title. UCLA with Chip Kelly in his first year. That's not going to happen. It's a fact that it's not going to happen. It's not an opinion. You know, Alabama is going to be in the Final Four. Clemson's probably going to be in the Final Four. The predictability of college football, it's much more predictable. God, the NFL has them by a mile in parity, and I mean that in a good way.
I agree. I mean, you could say with some degree of accuracy the Patriots are there every year. They've been there. I'm looking at now they were there last year, the year before that, 2 years before that. Then they are a weird anomaly, though, in today's NFL. I'll argue with you at one point. Georgia, no one really saw Georgia last year, and they came real close. They were ranked 15 preseason. They're not 15 teams in the NFL. Were they a bit of an outlier?
A little bit of an outlier. That just shows you how much, you know, college football, you can't be that much of an outlier in Georgia. But Georgia was interesting because of their quarterback situation. When they went from Eason, who was the big, big cannon in town, to Jacob Fromm, that is a little bit similar to what the Eagles did last year. They just didn't pay it off.
So have you been reading any of the predictions? I read all the predictions, the NFL predictions. And talking about, you're exactly right about unpredictability. I can't make any sort of sense of the trends in the NFL picks. almost every top 10 team, I've seen some mix of them in the Super Bowl. The Steelers, the Patriots, the Saints, the Falcons, the Chargers. I have no idea. If I was like a casual fan from England or something, I would have no idea who's going to be in this year's Super Bowl.
Well, I guess you could look at your picks and how dangerous your picks are. I have a little bit of a philosophy that you have to factor in injury. And, you know, if the Packers lose Aaron Rodgers, they're going nowhere. You know, you look at the Eagles, they went very far with a good backup quarterback. I don't even know who the Packers backup quarterback is. I think it's DeShone Kizer. They're not winning the Super Bowl with him. But I don't like the talent around him. Sometimes I try to go away from the quarterbacks and look at the talent around the quarterback in case they go down. Like, we were on the show the other day with the Dan Patrick Show, and some dude called in and started talking about how the Seahawks have rebuilt their defense in a quiet way. And you and I are sitting out there looking at him like, and it was like Ted from Kenosha, and he just happens to be a Seahawks fan. And he goes, you know, the Seahawks picked up all these different guys. And you and I are looking, just like, you know, the Seahawks, we shouldn't be sleeping on the Seahawks. Just because it was the last person we heard talk.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, actually, I was talking about the Seahawks in the preseason. They were murdering people. That defense is actually pretty scary. They faced my guy Case Keenum in week one. Not excited about that. But I'm right. I'm totally susceptible. The thing is, none of it means anything. It's complete media fluff. I hate to say it because I've been in the prediction business a million times. You said it yourself. Right. Injuries are everything. You can't predict injuries. It's totally random. Nobody saw Deshaun Watson or Rodgers
coming up in a few minutes. We're going to talk to former Eagles running back Brian Westbrook. He played a pretty long career in the NFL. He's one of those all-purpose backs. You know, his career, as all running back careers, ended a little early due to injury. But one thing I want to ask Brian Westbrook is, do you think young kids or people who are like 15, 16, look at the running back position and say, it is so tough to get and keep a job and get paid at that running back position. I wonder if that will trickle down at all to 15, 16-year-olds and say, you know what, I'm going to be a defensive back. There's five defensive backs. Spots on a roster, six, maybe
that's
up to eight
point.
Defensive back rock spots on a roster. I could have a long, twice as long career playing DB over running back.
Yeah, but there's still that mystique of having the ball in your hand. You know, the running backs get all the mark. You know, nobody's marketing a defensive back. All the marketing money is receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks. So there's still something to that position. I think, you know, it's funny, in high school, the best athlete always plays quarterback. At least that's the way it was when I was a kid. And then they become running backs. I would still want to... I want the glory. I'll be a receiver, boy. Which would you do?
If I could pick any position to play and you took away quarterback, man, cornerback, it seems like so much pressure, though. I mean, you have to run around all day, and you hope the ball is not thrown to you because you're so good at it. That's kind of, you feel like you're out on an island, and I don't like that. I feel like, in a bad way, I was out of the island. I think I'd like to be a tight end. You know, you get to hit some people. You get to go out and catch passes. You get a little glory. You get to rough it up. I think I'd like to be a... You know, an above-average tight end.
Isn't that tight end from Yale who had Eric Johnson? Isn't he married to somebody famous?
Who's he married to?
Jessica Simpson?
Nick Lachey's ex-wife, Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, so there you go. You can totally do well as a tight end. You're right. And Jason Witten's on Monday Night Football?
I think Eric Johnson had one season with 80 catches, and he parlayed that into Jessica Simpson. That is underrated. He should be in some type of Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no, he is for real. Tight end, the new glory position. I love it, Paul. But I'm not sure Brian Westbrook's going to agree with you. Let's get my former Eagle. I'm going to call him my former Eagle. Dude, he was... Do you remember how awesome he was with Andy Reid?
You loved him.
Oh, yeah. Because the game could be going... You never knew, but when Westbrook would get a screen and he would go to the house, so many games I remember exactly like that. Let's bring in Brian here in a minute, Paul. All right, Paul, it's football season. That means it's Guinness season as well. What do you have on tap for this first NFL weekend, buddy?
Well, let me tell you something. My first tailgate of the year, and I'm bringing some Guinness. I'm going to bring a little American Blonde. I'm going to bring some Blonde and some Draft, and I'm bringing it up to the Rhode Island home game. I'm going to ease into the season, drive up to Rhodey, love the light blue, dark blue uniforms. But you know, when I unveil my tailgate up there to the bros, you know, Murph is coming by, Meeker may come by, I think Moose may come by. And they see that I got Guinness at the tailgate, they'll know I'm serious. And that's what you do. Don't just get that average light beer or whatever you're going to do at your tailgate. Spice it up a little bit. Get a little Guinness at your tailgate. They'll know you're serious.
Well, I tell you, you know, Paul, I'm from suburban Philadelphia. So
growing up,
I don't think we really tailgated at Villanova, but we would have. Which leads me to our next guest, former Villanova star and Eagles star, Brian Westbrook. Brian, before we get started, do you want to brag about Villanova beating Temple in football?
Absolutely. Wow. Anytime that we can play Temple I want to brag about it because we always beat them football, basketball, baseball, soccer, hockey, swimming, everything. We always beat up on Temple, and I'm always going to be excited about it.
You know, I'm from Lower Merion, so I used to sneak into DuPont and play some hoops. Did you play basketball on that court ever?
I did. I played too much basketball on that court. That's probably why my knees are hurting as we speak.
All right, Brian, before we talk about this season, I want to go back to last February. Where were you during the Super Bowl, and did you get emotional at the end of the game when the Eagles won?
I was, for the Super Bowl, I was in the stadium watching the game with all the other crazy, excited Eagles fans. I was emotional. I didn't cry or anything like that, but I certainly was happy for the team. I was happy for the city and the organization as well. You know, those guys, they overcame an awful lot last year. Injuries, setbacks, things like that, to be able to win, to be able to bring them in the Super Bowl, but also to win it. And I was impressed. I was happy for the town. And really the fans, probably the most I was happy for them, because they waited for such a long time for the Eagles to celebrate a championship.
Hey, you know, Brian, I work with Andrew Perloff. He's a hardcore Eagles fan. I was sitting next to him at the game. We are now in uncharted territories for Eagles fans. They are now the defending Super Bowl champions. I think they're confused of how to be in life. I'm a Cubs fan. A couple years ago, I was confused. I didn't know what it felt like to win. They feel like lottery winners before they really have the money. There's a confusion. What is it like to be, because you're a former player, but you're also a fan. This is weird for them.
Well, you know what? It is a little weird. I think we were so invested in last season and winning it. Now we're just not sure if we can figure out how to get back hungry again. And the Eagles fans, they've been so passionate about it for so long, and they wanted that Super Bowl for so long. Now that they got it, I think you're right. We are in a weird position. But the truth is, at this point, the Eagles and the organization, and certainly the fans, have to figure out to find that passion to get longevity. We want to be like the Patriots, to be relevant for 15 years, 16 years with our team winning multiple championships. That's what it's all about. Our fans will find a way to get that passion back. I think it starts tonight.
You know, we work on a national show, the Dan Patrick Show, which you've been on many times. Mm-hmm. Nationally, no one's picking the Eagles. I don't know what the mood is like locally, but people aren't picking the Eagles. Do you sense people in Philadelphia think they can repeat?
Well, I think the fans in Philadelphia certainly think they can repeat. I think a lot of the media outlets are saying, you know, Carson Wentz won't be playing. Nick Foles looked terrible in the preseason. You don't know what you're going to get from Darren Sproles and Jason Peters. And we just don't think they're going to be able to outlast Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, that Coleman, that running attack. And I can understand that, you know, just because we saw how good Carson Wentz was last year and what he meant to this football team. But in my mind, the emotion of raising that banner, the emotion of our defense coming out, playing lights out football, getting after Matt Ryan, making it an uncomfortable feeling for him tonight, and our offense firing away in the second half will give us a chance to win a football game. It won't be easy. It'll be tough. But I think we'll have an opportunity, a chance to win it at the end.
Brian, when you grew up, were you always at the running back position when you played little grade school football? And who is your running back that you kind of modeled your style afterwards, or who you just loved watching?
Yes, really, for most of my career, I played running back, and I just continued to perfect my style. And I used to watch videos with Walter Payton, and the way that he trained with a headband and wristbands and running up and down the hill, just the way that he ran, it was impressive. He was one of those guys that he didn't catch the ball a lot out of the backfield, but he did a good job of it. When he had the opportunity, he did a good job blocking. He ran over people. He ran around people. He ran away from people as well. It was a great example for me. Obviously, one of the best running backs in NFL history. But Walter Payton was that guy that I looked up to and watched the most.
Brian, you're talking to Paul, the biggest Walter Payton fan in the world. He named his daughter after Walter Payton. So I don't know. Did somebody feed you that information?
Another daughter, I'm naming her Brian Westbrook.
That would have been cool.
Good for you, man. I love Walter.
Brian, we were talking before the show. If you could do it again, now that running backs aren't getting paid like other positions, would you think some young running backs out there are saying, maybe I should play cornerback or safety or something where I'll get a little less wear and tear and still get paid?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you had a choice and you had the ability to play any position, you want to try to find a way to play the position that gets hit the least and gets paid the most. That's the quarterback position. That's what they're building rules and making regulations about so they don't have to worry about getting hit. They're also breaking records in the payday department as well. And so that would be the position. If you could figure something out, how to make yourself into something, you would certainly want to be a quarterback. Truthfully, if you're an athlete and you can figure out a way to go play baseball, that might be the way to go. You're going to get a guaranteed contract. You're going to play a sport that you can play four or five times a week, and you're going to play for 10, 15 years. Now, that's probably the best way to go if you had a choice.
All right, Brian. Here I'm part of Crown Royal, who's launching a responsibility initiative encouraging football fans to stay in the game through moderation and hydration. It's about 1,000 degrees tonight for the Atlanta-Philly game. Brian, can you give some suggestions to fans on how to sort of stay on their feet throughout this game?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Crown Royal is introducing the first off-the-field water break. And we kind of understand what the water break is on the field, a chance to get off your feet, chance to relax and hydrate. But Crown Royal is trying to do the same thing while you're enjoying the pregame, the alcoholic beverages in the middle of the game, at the end of the game. They want to have a continual experience, be able to experience the entirety of the game day. And you're able to do that by hydrating and using moderation when you're drinking. You have to drink responsibly, but drink some water in between your drinks, and you'll be able to enjoy the entire day. That's what Crown Royal is doing. I think it's pretty cool. It's a very responsible thing for Crown Royal to introduce the water break, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Brian, yeah. This is a great move by Crown Royal. I've been the Walter Payton of tailgating for years, and I always said at tailgating, a lot of people go too hard too early. You know, have a nice Crown and Coke if you want. Then mix in a water. It's like you have a bratwurst, but then you mix in something a little light. But, you know, if you pace yourself and have a couple waters during the day, next thing you know, you have a 14-hour day of college or pro football.
That's right. Responsible drinking, use moderation and hydrate. That's some key things there.
Now, Brian, I've been to many games at the Link, even going back to the Vet. I have a feeling not everybody's going to be following this advice. I've seen a few people who have not been responsible through the years. I don't know. Did you notice that when you were on the field? There's some wild fans there.
Well, this is what Crown Royal is going to do. They're going to introduce the water break, the Crown Royal water break. And hopefully all the fans will see all the people using the water break and how much fun they're still having. You still have the ability to enjoy the game, enjoy the pregame tailgate, the postgame tailgate, and the game. But take some water in there, and I guarantee you you'll enjoy your experience a little bit more.
That's awesome. Brian, one last question. Andy Reid, Hall of Fame coach, your former coach, do you think he'll reach the Hall of Fame?
You know, I think Andy, when you look at his credentials, the teams that he had in Philadelphia, the Eagles were absolutely terrible when he got here. He was able to make that franchise into a winner for a very long time. The Chiefs were not very good when he got there. He also made that team into a perennial playoff type of team. He hasn't won the big game. But he's been an awesome coach. He's produced a lot of head coaches throughout the NFL and even in college. And so when you talk about some of the best coaches in the game, you have to include Andy Reid's name.
Awesome, man. All right, well, we are going to take plenty of water breaks tonight because, you know, the players, they don't have it tough. It's us fans who really have the challenge in football.
Yeah.
Brian, you thought you had it tough. All right, buddy. Thanks for the time, man. Good luck this season. We'll be seeing you and talking to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
That was great. That's Brian Westbrook, your former Eagle. You loved him, Perloff.
Yeah, I tried not to get too many Eagles questions in there. I just had to throw in the Andy Reid at the end. What do you think of that, Paul? I actually had a debate the other day. Is Andy Reid a Hall of Fame coach?
You know, I'm going to have to think on that one and look at the numbers. So to me, that might be a no. He just doesn't feel like it. He feels like a grinder, a lifer, a guy who hits 280 for 20 years, like a Harold Baines type in baseball. Let me switch back to this Crown Royal thing because I think this is underrated what Crown Royal is doing here with this thing. They're basically saying it's okay to have a long day of, you know, having a couple cocktails, have a couple beers, but if you pace yourself, and I saw this at the Super Bowl. We went to a bunch of pregame stuff at the Super Bowl, and there was Eagles fans. Remember, the Eagles fans were really living it up because they haven't been in the Super Bowl in a long time. The Patriots fans were much more paced because they've done this before. I saw some Eagles fans before the game almost tapping out where they were, like, so drunk that they couldn't keep it together. And again, I'm just saying a handful. Most of the Eagles fans are pretty cool, and believe it or not. But can you imagine, like, overdoing it during your team's great game and maybe blacking out, just not being ready to go all night?
That's great advice. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the Super Bowl is a little bit of a corporate event. Those aren't real Eagles fans. The fans in Philadelphia have a different thing going on. They get pretty drunk, but you know, they are able to yell at the opponent for 60 minutes. They pride themselves on that. But that is such a good point. Can you imagine tonight? You know, it's supposed to be this Thursday, over 85 degrees, I think, at kickoff for Falcons, Eagles. I really, honestly, this is a medical issue. I can see fans going out on ambulances left and right.
Well, you're right. I mean, for young people out there who drink, you know, you think because you're drinking beer, you're getting water, it goes right through you, and it doesn't hydrate you in the way that just traditional water does. You don't have to be a scientist to figure this out. I think most people who drink beer know this, but I think young people think, oh, I've been drinking all day, I'm fine, but you know, it doesn't work that way. All right, Perloff, we're coming to the end of the Leisureman episode. Are you ready to make your Super Bowl pick, or as in the past, are you going to wait till after the first round of games?
I'd like to wait till after the first 17 weeks, and even then, I'm not sure. Now, I have to tell you, a lot of people who I am very close to are, and this is why I was asking about Andy Reid, are picking Andy Reid's Chiefs. Our buddy Peter Schrager, our buddy Robert Klemko.
Wow.
Robert Klemko has bet a lot of money on the Chiefs. Not money, all his pride. He keeps saying, you know, at me all you want, the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. Schrags, who's really on fire with his picks, I am tempted by the Chiefs, but I'm not doing the Chiefs. I am going chalk in the AFC with the Patriots. Your turn.
I'm having a real tough time with the AFC. I don't love anybody. It's a weird thing. I don't love the Jaguars. I don't love the Patriots.
Nope.
I don't love the Steelers. Who else should I like in the AFC? Because I'm telling you, I don't have an AFC pick. I have my NFC pick.
How about the Houston Texans? That's a smart pick.
Man, that just seems it's hard
to
picture.
Yeah, I know.
It's one of those. But again, boy. I think I'm going to pick it just because it's juicy and would be great to have the young quarterbacks. I'm going to go Texans versus Rams in the Super Bowl. I think the Rams, there's a lot of downside to having that many big names on defense, that much talent on one team. Usually they think talent can't be a bad thing. I am worried about the Rams, but I think Sean McVay could be young and hot, and he may, you know, he may peak early, but I'm going to go Rams, Texans. I just want to pick someone besides the Patriots.
I think you picked the Texans last year on this spot.
I picked them 2 years ago. And I think I picked them 2 years ago when they had Osweiler and Lamar Miller, and that worked out real well.
All right, my NFC team, I honestly think the three NFC South teams are all legit. I love all three of those teams, but I'm going to pick the Falcons. They're going to be a wild card team who goes to the Super Bowl. And honestly, not because of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. I think their defense is going to be like Seattle's defense. You know, Dan Quinn and the Seattle defensive coordinator. I think the Falcons' defense is legit. Watch them let up 50 points against the Eagles in week one. But I'm going to go Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl Redux. And by the way, I don't like the Patriots at all. Their wide receiver core is a joke. I don't understand what they're doing. I just can't pick another AFC team. I'm just like you were a minute ago.
I totally agree with you on the Falcons as far as, like, for them to pick up Calvin Ridley, I thought was so awesome. You know, hey, we're already known for being an offensive team. Let's step on the gas a little bit. We do have some good players on defense. But instead of picking up some, like, decent linebacker, they steal Calvin Ridley, who's more of a possession guy, but he's young, he's explosive, not big like Julio Jones. But I think that's a great pickup. Calvin Ridley, keep an eye on. I don't think he could win Rookie of the Year, but I think he could catch 70 balls.
Oh, I'll bet you that it's not happening. There's just too much talent there. Now he's a polarizing character right now in Atlanta. They're not sure what they got in him. Rookie receivers generally, before like a few years ago, rookie receivers never did anything. Then Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham came in and caught like 85 balls their first year. But are you going to be able to get enough action away from Julio and Devontae there? We could sit.
Well,
is there
boy,
a Vegas
I mean,
line
I mean,
on?
I mean, yeah. I may have to edit that out of the podcast in case Casey catches 20 balls because I don't want that coming back to haunt me.
Well, I'm going to say right now, Paul, you've been sort of falling in love. You fell in love with a certain tight end. That's a theme of today's podcast. There is a certain tight end in Philadelphia named Dallas Goedert who you are so excited about. You're barely rational when you talk about him.
He's from South Dakota State. He plays 1AA football. He's a jackrabbit. He was a great college tight end. He's big. He can move a little bit. He's not fast, but he's a good receiver. And, what a great pickup. For him and Ertz together, I love it.
Yeah, it's funny because I see you're usually pretty rational. You go a little fanboy on Goddard. Now, Alshon Jeffrey's out at least 2 or 3 weeks, and they think Dallas Goedert's going to be on the field all the time instead of Jeffrey. So it could work out, but 70 catches, I don't know. All right, so do you feel good about your pick? I don't know. I feel completely awful about mine.
I already regret my Houston Texans pick. I don't think it was just the last team you said to me, so I just hit it back to you like some moron.
I knew what I would say. You love the Texans. You love Deshaun Watson. You love J.J. Watt. Jadeveon Clowney is going to be a superstar this year. It's not a bad pick if it hits.
You know it's a terrible pick. You know it's a terrible pick. You're just being nice because you're my friend. Why? If we do 1AA college football picks, that's where I'm going to smoke you.
Dude, my pick, the receivers on my pick are Cordarrelle Patterson, Chris Hogan, and Philip Dorsett. That's the three receivers on the Patriots. That's going to win the Super Bowl? They never do anything. All right. Well, that's the Midweek Podcast. Thanks to Crown Royal and Brian Westbrook. Paul, Guinness season, flannel season. Next time we speak, we're going to be into the NFL season.
We were getting into the NFL season. I think all the people who are Leisureman fans who listen to this podcast, you are now completely and utterly prepared for the games coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I feel like you're prepared for the whole season. In fact, I would highly suggest run to New Jersey or whatever state where gambling is legal. Go against our picks. Is there like a can you bet against the Texans, Patriots, Rams, and who's your other? Oh, Rams and Falcons? Are you allowed to do that?
Just walk up to your local bookie and play our podcast and bet against everything that he hears, and you guys will be rich.
Yeah. Is there an over-under for Dallas Goedert catches? If there is, we got to put our money where our mouth is.
55.5 for Dallas.
All right, I'm declaring it right now. We're going to have a regular segment on the Leisureman podcast, the Dallas Goedert catch tracker, just to see where we are every week. He's going to have a big week this week.
Our podcast will be the hugest podcast in like Brookings, South Dakota, and a little bit in Philly.
Yes. And maybe Dallas, because maybe like the Google will pick up Dallas in his name. This could be huge. All right, buddy, football time. Let's do it.
Time to take a nap. Later.
All right. Leisureman Podcast out.